Yo, that caught me by surprise. It's Monday, May 15th. We're rolling into a week. Hey, today is a fun day. You know why? Because it's wheels up to Las Vegas.
We on jet planes.
For the Reuters. Again. Everywhere I go, you know, people really want
to
know.
Look,
it's been a while since I've been
to
Vegas.
We're going to have a guest on in just a second. We haven't announced it, but we're going to have a guest on in just a second that I feel like just this month I'm gunning for. By like yeah, a few years from now, if I repeated this month, I'd have the Sky Miles.
No, you wouldn't.
So my goal is to not make that happen. That's not the goal.
It's his goal.
I do love my family and I want to see them a lot. So, we're headed to Vegas and for this Reuters event. And I'm excited because all of the events that I'm typically at are like heavy dealer industry partner, not a lot of like, you know, rubbing shoulders with OEMs outside of any NADA. And so just like the number and different types of people that are in the room at a Reuters event, just because it's a little bit more global on the scale and the way that their reach is really going to be cool. It'll craft some neat narratives and some fun conversations. And I guarantee we'll definitely, without a doubt, be the only ones in flat rooms.
Yeah,
there.
It's true.
Period.
That's true. One of the fun things. So Reuters, actually, the backstory, they actually reached out after they saw one of our Live Tonight shows. And so fancy enough, we were in suits for those. Like, what if they don't realize that we don't wear
They're
suits?
They're going to be like, oh, no.
No, I'm pretty sure they know by now. But we're having a lot of fun. We're going to be moderating a main stage panel together, which is always fun. So we'll see if we can let anybody else talk during that one. And then we're each moderating an individual panel separately. And we have our own workshop. And we're recording a brand new podcast on the show floor called Amplify, which is a collaborative podcast with Reuters, making the most innovative voices in retail automotive louder. And we have like 25 confirmed guests, everybody from like the global Ford, the global brand and design director for Ford, all the way to dealers and Tim Bergstrom. Like, it's going to be a wild time. Which brings us to our next guest.
I'm bringing the family size of Halls. The little throat lozenges.
We're going to need the lemon water and the honey tea and all that stuff. But the highlight of the show, maybe even for us and probably for everyone at the event, is the MC. Because they didn't go out and get like, you know, Jimmy Fallon. They didn't get any of those. They got the best MC in retail automotive. We have him on the show today. So, Nathan, bring on the one and only Steve Greenfield. MC.
You guys are killing me here. Killing me.
Oh, just the expectations. Wait until we get on the stage.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, we're going to have some fun out there. I mean, the three of us should be able to riff off of each other for sure.
Oh, I know it. Do they even know we know each other? They probably
do. Probably not. Yeah. We don't know what they're in for.
Yeah, they might not even know that. But give a little bit of your perspective on this event and why you think it's important.
Yeah, I mean, so with all due respect, a huge global brand, but much more penetrated over in Europe. You know, this is the second year in a row when they're doing Vegas. And I think just getting some momentum here. And as you guys have just said, I mean, really great that they're bringing in OEM perspective. They're bringing in dealer perspective and a lot of industry folks outside of the OEMs as well. It's a different type of conference. So you just have different conversations when you've got like literally dealers on the stage with OEM personnel and they're kind of debating these things. So we're going to have a lot of fun. I'm on stage. I'm in any of the halls as well. I'm on stage like pretty much nonstop for 2 days. So by the end of it, when I fly home, I'll be like, "Whew, I'm wiped out."
Yeah.
And but it's gonna be a lot of fun and good sort of like diversity of thought. I think that they've curated on stage, a good example of which is having you guys participate. So it'll be fun.
So good.
Well, they're like that. That's the diversity. Them flat brims.
Well, yeah.
It will be good. It will be good.
So let me. So like the one of the points in the themes of the event is a theme that we talk about quite a bit in our joint content, our separate lanes, is the fact that the auto industry is so broad and you have OEMs on one side who are trying to anticipate the need of the consumer in the future. They're trying to navigate all of the regulations, all the government involvement in, you know, incentives and trying to like move the industry. So they have to deal with all of those big OEM things. And then you have dealers who are dealing with everything from supply to the person who just walked into their service department and is having some level of experience with whatever brand they walked into. It seems like this event is saying, like, how can we bring those two sides closer together? We try to do that a lot. What do you see as the primary friction point right now? I know it changes and it moves. What do you see as the primary friction point in OEM dealer relationships?
I think it comes back to the consumer. Everything starts with the consumer, right? But I mean, I think it's a misalignment or a perceived misalignment between how the consumer should be treated. And you know, the OEMs have this like utopian version of like how consumers will want to buy vehicles and how they'll want them serviced. And then dealers have a more realistic version because they're actually doing that every day. They're on the front lines. And I think that that's where the disconnect comes from. And it's been fueled by COVID, right? Because we did have consumers that got conditioned to buy every vehicle at MSRP and to order and wait. And you know, dealers have largely gone to order takers instead of having the muscle around selling vehicles. And I think it's exacerbated this whole thing, right? So, I mean, it'll be it's going to be interesting at this conference to hear from you know both constituents, the OEM perspective juxtaposed against the dealer perspective, and really evaluate, is there a misalignment here? Because at the end of the day, we should be all motivated by the same thing, right? Sell a car to a consumer, make them really happy, so much so that they want to come back and get that vehicle serviced at that dealership. I mean, this shouldn't be rocket science, but it seems like COVID really has fueled this kind of like misalignment between, you know, trying to address what consumers actually need. And I think if we can flush some of those things out at this conference, we may come away all better educated around how to drive alignment around how we meet consumer needs.
Well said. I agree that it's like this weird time where we are having misalignment, but it shouldn't be, because as long as the consumer's in the center, we should have the same heart about us, about, hey, let's care for the customer. Let's make the best path for the customer, because that's going to increase profitability, increase retention, increase care, increase cultural perception of the dealer and the OEM all around. So I think that's a great call out. You were just telling us that they're like a particular OEM. You were having a conversation with a dealer that some of the decisions that are made by OEMs, and in this case, Tesla, even down to pricing, change the way that a dealer can even interact with customers, the cars that they have. Talk to us a little bit about that conversation that you had with a Canadian dealer, and how like the decision the OEM is making, even if it's not your OEM as a new car franchise, directly impacts everything downstream from that.
Yeah. So good. I mean, I had a couple of conversations last week that were very, very interesting with dealers that are selling used Teslas, and they're dealing with the after effects of Tesla being so volatile with, you know, resetting new car prices. As we saw, you know, late last week, Tesla actually increased price on some of their vehicles. But since the beginning of the year, they've dropped prices pretty dramatically across a number of their models. And, you know, if I'm a dealer, whether, you know, I specialize in Teslas or just have like two or three of them on my lot, I mean, suddenly these cars can be depreciating by $5,000 or $10,000 versus what they were worth yesterday. So it's causing disruption in remarketing. You know, I talked to a dealer that's got a bunch of stores down in Orlando last week, who's one of our investors. And he's like, look, I've just told our appraisers to back off by about 10 grand on all the Teslas. So now you got a consumer. Holy. Listen, you got a consumer who like 3 days ago thought my used Tesla was worth 40 grand. And now I'm going to dealers and they're saying, you know what, we'd love to pay you what you think it's worth, but we can only hit you at 30 grand because of the volatility. We don't know if Elon's going to drop prices in the next 3 days, in which case your car could be worth $7,000 less. So, you know, we're erring on caution. And I think it's crazy to me, you know, the implications of this. And then this dealer in Canada, as you mentioned, had an interesting parallel conversation that kind of said the same thing. You know, they get their fingers burned a couple of times, and then they got to be super cautious, which does have an impact on consumers pricing. But then they said, look, a lot of the price guides are becoming irrelevant because price guides are based on the last 30 History. Or 60 or 90 days sort of data.
They're trailing
not today, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. If Tesla changes prices today, then tomorrow my prices are changing on my lot. So this guy was more interested in, and a big retailer of used EVs in general, Tesla specifically, he's like, I got to make changes like literally the same day that Tesla's changing retail prices. So the conversation I got into with him was like, what is MSRP anymore? What is MSRP? Because you know what? If MSRP, you know, it used to be there was a window sticker that was printed that was go on the front of the car, and that MSRP. It would not change, right? It would not change. And now Tesla is changing the game. Like MSRP may change on a weekly basis.
Right. They don't have window stick. They don't have a printed sticker. Right.
right?
Right.
That's wow. And you know, like Elon, we talked about this several weeks ago, and he said, you know, we could actually sell down to like no profit and be fine.
Right.
Right. And what's that actual number? Right. That could be another like seven.
Well, Model 3 has nine grand in retail markup on it.
There you go.
Right. Yeah. So like they came out with that probably 6 months ago, you know, so that's the opportunity. And here's the thing. We're going to see this across manufacturers, because even if it's not on the MSRP level, we're going to start to see incentives come back, and it'll be a game that we haven't had to look at in, like, you know, you think about it, like trucks used to just, you knew every truck had a 10 grand rebate on,
yep,
right?
Yep.
Just ready to go. And we haven't dealt with that in the market. And the minute those rebates start to come back, we're going to start to see used car prices have to immediately take an impact because of the retail pricing of the new model when inventory comes back. So I don't think that's going to be a EV only, Tesla only thing that dealers are going to be dealing with over the next 4 to 5 months.
Yeah, well, listen, this is the weirdest thing right now, right? So the legacy automakers, GM, Ford, ICE vehicles, a lot of profit per unit. EVs, losing a lot of money per unit, right? So they're investing. You saw Ford is expected to lose like $3 billion this year on EVs. Right. Thank goodness they've got profitable ICE vehicles like F-150s, et cetera, right? So if Elon is driving the EV portion of the business to basically cut everyone's throats because he's got more margin than anyone else, then these EV manufacturers, the legacy manufacturers, are going to be bleeding so much money in their EV operations. They're going
to
start questioning,
right?
Can I? And they're going to have to keep ICE vehicles healthy to subsidize their EV divisions. And you know, it may slow down the transition from ICE to EV because they're like, dude, the only thing that's making money right now are my ICE divisions.
Wow, right? And then like the bigger umbrella question is like, what is actually driving like demand or perceived demand, right?
And what's right, because all the commercials say we're headed toward EV. They're trying to market that perceived perception necessity, and then you come down and it's like, no, the inventory is ICE and the margins are in ICE.
That's a heck of a crystal ball to need, right? Putting all your eggs in that basket. Well, that's kind of some of the fun we're going to be having this week. Steve, I have a personal question to ask of you. What is your favorite place to eat in Las Vegas? You've been there one or two times.
Oh, interesting.
Let's get some dining tips for Steve Green.
So interestingly, I was in Vegas 7 days ago on Monday. I did a day trip to Vegas because I had a presentation. And I got off the plane and I was like, oh, I'm really hungry. I got an hour before my presentation. And here was my dilemma. In-N-Out Burger, which I can't get in Atlanta.
Right.
Or Giordano's, which is a Chicago deep pizza chain. Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, which one? Both were right across from Caesars. I did Giordano's. So I think this time I'm going to have to check the box on In-N-Out. If you guys want to go to In-N-Out later tonight when we get there,
let's go over to In-N-Out. Down. Some In-N-Out.
I think there's no better way to end this show than getting on a plane and looking forward to In-N-Out Burger with Steve Greenfield and Kyle Mounts here. All right, whatever you're doing this week, go out there, serve some people. Stay tuned. We got a lot of content this week.